From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the Hall of Records near the Sphinx. Here's what's happening. We're tracking a breaking story. Several people were shot at a FedEx facility in Indianapolis tonight. Investigators said there are multiple victims at this time. The site is near the Indianapolis International Airport. We'll keep on top of that story for you tonight. If airlines leave the middle seat open in airplane aisles, they may reduce coronavirus transmission, they say, by up to 57%, according to a new study by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Airplanes hold many people, oftentimes shoulder to shoulder, for extended periods of time in a very contained compartment, which may very well spell out a recipe for COVID disaster. However, most airlines right now are now putting people back in that middle seat to increase their revenue. What's the first thing you do when the alarm clock goes off each morning? Take a shower, get some coffee? Well, for some, the answer is probably hit the snooze button. A new study finds that many people deal with sleep inertia, as they call it, the feeling of grogginess and lack of alertness from simply not being ready to wake up yet. To beat this, Australian researchers say the answer may simply be changing the sound of your alarm clock, specifically anything with a catchy tune that is likely to make you feel rested and ready to go once it starts playing. Who better to research this than our friend, Dr. Peter Bregan? Peter, what the heck is this one all about?
Oh, wow, I love this, George. I mean, I wake up raring to go usually. I do. I just wake up raring to go. But I think if a catchy tune is going to help you wake up, I think that's just great. But the whole secret to life is to want to get up in the morning, to thank God for being up, to feel like it's going to be a good day because you're going to make it a good day. I don't think anything can take away the necessity of appreciating life. So I'd go with that one first, George. But I think part of that, sure.
And here's one right down your alley. Researchers say that they found a way to tell from a person's blood how severe their depression is, the risk of developing severe depression in the future, and the risk of future bipolar disorder. According to a new study from researchers in Indiana, they found a way to test someone's blood to gauge depression. What do you think of that one, Peter?
Well, George, it would have to be a miracle because they would have to have cracked all the unsolved problems of our emotional lives, economic, social, political, and psychiatric. For one thing, the things that people suffer from that make them sad, make them depressed. These people are even talking about suicide. They're talking about opiate addiction in different places in their work. They're not biologic. So how can you have a biological marker?
That's a good point.
Their markers are genetic, but we've never shown that anything that makes people miserable in their everyday existence is genetic in origin. And then the final one, I mean, I could go on for 2 hours with this, but the final one is they're going to tailor just the right drug to the right genetics. And yet, we can't even prove the drugs work. Every single psychiatric drug makes people worse in the long run because they're not good for the brain. And I think that it's just nailed down by a little bit of research I did at the end of the article. I read their affiliations, and they've got a startup, a venture capital startup. They're looking for venture capital.
Crazy times.
They've got a lab, and they're advertising to doctors. Oh, God, George, you can't be too cynical.
You can. And you have a new book coming out in June. We're going to have you on for a full show when that's ready. So get it out to the publisher, and let's get ready, all right?
Well, thank you, George. Thank you, and thank you, wonderful audience.
Dr. Peter Bregan. A fresh batch of stimulus checks sent consumer purchasing surging in March as the U.S. economy continues to get juice from aggressive congressional spending. Advanced retail sales rose almost 10% for the month. That's a lot. UFO time. Kevin Randall, our former Army Lieutenant Colonel who served in Vietnam. And Kevin, before you get started with your report, have you been following this USS Russell story where there is some kind of objects flying all around it?
Well, first, good evening, George.
Hello.
Just yesterday, John Greenwald and I were talking about some of that information. about the photographs, the videos that had just leaked.
Yep.
John mentioned that some of it wasn't all that interesting, but he was intrigued by the video, which shows the objects near the USS Russell, as you mentioned. At one point, it seems the objects were about 700 feet above the ship, so they got a good look at what they were seeing out there. John wanted more information and communicated with his contacts at the Pentagon and in Washington for an official comment. He didn't expect much other than the normal noncommittal response. Instead, the Navy confirmed the videos were authentic. This video is alleged to be part of the UTAP task force, which is supposed to report to Congress in June about what's going on in the world of the UFO. Although the objects in the video were unidentified, that only means that they're well unidentified. More research is needed, but what is important here is the Navy authenticated the video and said that it was unclassified. And I'll have more of this on my blog and a link to the discussion that John and I had about that.
Fantastic. And what do you got for us this week?
Well, I scour my sources looking for UFO reports that are interesting. And while I don't have time to completely vet them, I do look for evidence that they are valid. Length of sighting is one. None of these reports that I'm going to talk about are shorter than a minute, which gives the witness a good chance to identify the object. I also look for multiple witnesses, and if they are independent, so much the better. In other words, there are ways to determine if a sighting is more than just an unidentified apparition. And there's a couple of good examples of this, as we talked about, courtesy of the National UFO Reporting Center. Witness in Grosvenor, New York, said that he and his partner were in the living room when they heard a strange noise on January 21st of this year. He went to the window and saw a UFO with red steady light, a blinking green light, and a blinking yellowish light that seemed to form a triangle. The witness reported that within an hour, he heard the same noise again. He saw within 200 yards a similar object with the same lights blinking in the same pattern. Just over an hour later, in the same New York location, another witness reported nearly the same thing. The witness said he was working on a puzzle with his girlfriend when they heard an odd sound. They both got up to look out the window, and across the street above the neighbor's house, they saw an odd red light with both blinking yellow and green lights in a triangular shape. The movements of the object were not those of an airplane or a helicopter, and he ruled out a drone because of the size. Like the first report, the witness said that an hour later, or about 3 a.m., and I'm still trying to figure out what they're doing working on a puzzle at 3 a.m., they heard the sound again. This time they ran outside with the camera, but they could not pick up the light source with their camera. Like the first witnesses, he said it was a very clear night with plenty of stars visible at a very low ambient light. He said that the sound was terrifying. All these sightings lasted for a minute or more. There are two witnesses at each location, and all the sightings were of a triangular-shaped object with the same colored lights. The sightings happened in a short time frame and were relatively close to one another. Given all that, these are interesting sightings that deserve additional investigation. What we have here, then, are reports from the Navy wrapped in the mantle of official Washington, and they're authenticating the videos, and then we have two additional sightings in the civilian world that seem to be related to one another. It's getting very interesting out there, George.
All right, my friend, we'll talk to you next week. Kevin Randall follows UFO reports for us. Did you ever think about magic? Not the sleight of hand kind, but the kind of magic that can change and influence your life? Well, in a moment, Marla Martinson joins us. Her latest work is called The Magic Seeker, and we're going to talk about magic and you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Marla Martinson back with us, a Los Angeles-based matchmaker, transformational life coach, award-winning author, energy healer, tarot card reader, hosts a podcast called The Mystical Matchmaker. Her latest memoir was The Magic Seeker, which I'm holding in my hand right now, which chronicles a year in her world as she balances her life as a Cupid to muggle millionaires and her deep dive into the mystical, magical world of the occult as well. Marla, welcome back to the program.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me back.
How are things in Los Angeles? Have they opened up a little bit?
Yeah, and actually I've been in Seattle for 2 weeks. I go half and half now because my mom is up here and I'm spending time with her. But L.A., It's pretty open, and Adolfo, my hubby, said he went to dinner in Beverly Hills with Marvin and Augustine, your friends too, and they had a good time. But he said, "Gosh, it's different, you know." And when I was there, George, you see all the people walking down the street; they're wearing the sparkly masks. You know, you have to wear the face mask.
And absolutely.
They put sparkle to it because it's Beverly Hills, you know.
Marla's husband is John Alexi, and he is one of the world's greatest piano players and musicians. And I miss his music, Marla.
Yes, I hope they open that back up soon.
Yeah.
I
do too. So let's talk a little bit about some of the things you've been working on. You haven't been on the program in almost 4.5 years. It's been a long time.
I know.
But your latest.
I was on Gaia on.
Yep. You were on our Beyond Belief show, absolutely. And you're close to Karen Dahlman, Miss Ouija Board, aren't you?
She's one of my BFFs. Yeah.
She loves that Ouija board. I can't get her away from the thing.
She came over recently, and can you believe Adolfo did the Ouija with her? I can't believe it.
Oh, no. He's haunted now for the rest of his life.
He tried it out. He was trying to be polite, but I mean, he was kind of fascinated by it. But if I ask him to, forget it. There's no way in hell he's doing it.
That's funny. Well, The Magic Seeker is your latest book. It's called a memoir. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so it's my fourth memoir, and the last memoir before that was The Buddha Made Me Do It, which was also a spiritual memoir. It was a madcap adventure about all of the modalities that I tried. Now, this one went even deeper, and what happened was actually a spirit guide that is channeled through a powerful shaman in Los Angeles called Riz Mirza, who is my spiritual teacher. Red Eagle, the spirit guide, told me, he says, Marla, you have to keep writing. And so there's a lot, the way that I met Red Eagle and all of the teachings and the things that I've been learning was so incredible that I said, well, I'm going to write a memoir about that. I'm going to write about my adventures and the things that because I started channeling, I started getting deeper into my spiritual abilities, started giving readings and channeling the guides and all of that. And so there's a lot of Red Eagle's wisdom in there. There's also the funny stuff. There's, you know, Adolfo's in it and my mom's in it. There's it's funny and it's deep.
Now, you have always been interested in the paranormal somewhat, haven't you?
I have. I've always loved it. Ever since I was a kid, I had a witch's club and I had a witch's name and I always loved Halloween and I just loved the magical stuff. And as I got older, I got more into metaphysics. So it would be like Florence Gobel Shin and going to Agape International Spiritual Center. And it was the law of attraction, that kind of stuff. Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Stuart Weil. And then it was in 2013 that my friend Julie and I started going all over Los Angeles and learning about candle magic and pendulums and channeling on the board and Reiki. I got energy healing, crystals, bhajans. You know, we did everything. We did everything. We just got, it was like a spiritual fever pitch there. We started going to everything around town and learning all that we could.
It was like an awakening for you, wasn't it?
It was a big awakening, yeah. And it went more into that esoteric stuff. And then, you know, so at the Conscious Life Expo is always like me and Karen Dahlman's favorite day of the year. And we'd go and every kind of modality, every spiritual person, everything is there, you know, once a year. And so that would be like the epitome of like, you know, my favorite thing is.
Of course, everything's Zoom these days, but hopefully they'll start to open up again, huh?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I hope so.
Now, when you started enhancing your psychic abilities, Marla, did you then begin to realize that things were changing for you at the same time?
Yeah, you know what opened it was getting these energetic attunements. I was attuned to Reiki. There was some other, I got the reconnection and there were some other energetic attunements that I got. And that was, I guess, the catalyst to having me be able to hear my spirit guides and start giving messages. And I started doing some automatic writing and I would do these little readings for people. And then I'd get feedback and they'd say, oh my gosh, that's spot on. Oh yes. You know, that's phenomenal. And I was like, but you know, I'd always doubt myself. Is this real? Is this just myself in my head making this up? But I would always get the feedback. And then from there, I always thought, oh, how cool would it be to be able to read tarot cards or to do readings for people? Because I have friends who do it for a living. And I had a psychic, this guy called Andrew Anderson in Chicago, and then this gal called Veronica Drake. They both told me around the same time, they said, you should be giving readings. You'd be really good at it. You really need to be reading the cards. And I thought, oh, I would love to, but it's so daunting to try to learn the 78 cards, the meanings. I mean, I'm so busy.
Oh, sure. It's a lot of work.
And I thought, how can I do that? And then Andrew was like, no, just learn the basics. You're going to be, believe me, you're going to be really good at it. And so for a year, I didn't do it, but it was in the back of my mind. And I thought, because everything else that he had said to me was spot on. So I said, if he said that, I really should follow up on it. And so a year later, I started slowly learning the cards. And then, you know, I use oracle cards, the tarot cards, I channel, you know, I mix all the things up. And you don't have to be, you don't have to know every meaning. It's just a really guideline. And so I did it. And so now I can't even believe one of my jobs is I give readings. And I even go on a couple of psychic hotlines every day for a couple hours and take calls on there.
Have you ever had, Marla, a bad occult experience?
I wouldn't say I had a bad occult experience, but I had a kind of nerve-wracking, scary one when back in probably 2014-15, when I was really trying to channel and I was getting involved in so many things. I think I was picking up energies all over the place. And one night, I was in bed, and now you've talked about this sleep paralysis a lot, you know,
yep,
on your show.
Exactly.
Which has happened to me. It still happens to me. It's always, all my life I've had that, but one night I felt something, some entity, some energy come in through my crown chakra, and I was laying on my side. It came in, paralyzed me, and my mouth opened like really wide, like I couldn't open my mouth, and I could feel in there. And I was like, oh my God, it scared me so much. And first I thought, well, maybe it's somebody trying to come in and channel, because I would love that. But then I thought, no, but this feels kind of scary. And I told, I said, you have got to get out of here. And I called in Archangel Michael and Jesus and, you know, my team, saying, please help me. And then I felt it leave. And then I went to another healer, and she did some work on me and stuff. So I don't know if it was but it was just scary. And then I do, George, I get these sleep paralysis some nights where there's somebody holding me down. I even felt like this entity holding down my arms one night, and it's so frightening. And then, of course, you always get out of it, but you feel like you can't scream, you can't open your eyes, you can't.
Oh, it's a horrible feeling. We call it the old hag syndrome as well, Marla, because a lot of people report seeing and feeling this old hag-looking person holding you down. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm. I felt it. One of them pushed me, because we all go out of body at night and when we're sleeping. So I was out of, you know, body, our back door opened. This is all on the astral. And some entity came through and pushed me all the way back down onto the couch, because I was sleeping out on the couch that night, and it pushed me back down, and it was holding me. And I was like, what in the heck is that? And it was crazy. Does it happen to you?
No, I don't have sleep paralysis, thank God, knock on wood.
Okay, you just heard about it from other people.
Other people call in with their incredible stories and stuff. Now, when you write about the headline is called The Magic Seeker. Tell me about the headline of the book, because it's got some meaning here.
Yeah, well, one of the hardest things when you're an author, I mean, at least I think so, is finding a great title. And I was on the phone with my girlfriend, Marie-Ange, who's an author, and we were talking about the book, and she knew all about the book because she also does readings and she knows me, and she's come to see Riz Channel Red Eagle, and so she knew everything that I was writing about. And we're talking on the phone one night, and she goes, well, you know, Marla, the thing is, you're really a magic seeker. And I said, that's it. That's the name of the title. Because that's what I am. I'm still.
And we're not talking about hocus pocus magic.
No, it's the magic of life. It's the magic of giving readings, of channeling, of the other side, of the even the magic of the sleep paralysis or going out of body at night or astral travel, all the magic, because there's so much magic in life. There's so much more than we can see.
Absolutely.
The magic of a crystal, the magic of your angel, the magic of, anything. Communicating with somebody else, falling in love. There's so much magic.
We're going to come back and take more of questions with Marla Martinson, and next hour we'll take your phone calls with her. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And, of course, our special guest tonight, Marla Martinson, the Magic Seeker. Her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with Marla, and she will do a tarot card reading for you as well. So what you'll need to do is ask her a specific question, and she'll pull the card, and she'll tell you a little bit about you and what your future holds. So we'll be doing that next hour on Coast to Coast. When I come back, we'll talk more about channeling, energy healing, and astral travel with her on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Marla Martinson, the Magic Seeker. And we'll take your calls next hour with Marla. Marla, in your dealings with channeling, have you ever been tricked by one of those on the other side?
I have not been tricked. I know that's always a big, big question that people have, is wondering if there's some trickster coming through, but I haven't.
Well, that's probably a good thing, or have you been lucky?
I just think that, it's your frequency, if you're kind of expecting something lower to come in, or maybe if you've been drinking or doing drugs or joking around or not taking it seriously, I guess it could, but my guides, and we have a gatekeeper, so you're main spirit guide or your angel, they're your gatekeeper, and mine will just probably keep those out. So it's pretty much my main guide, Thomas, and then some galactic entities come through with messages, which is pretty cool.
And they're from more other planetary systems?
Yeah, they're like galactic energies, which I started coming through when I started doing some plant medicine journeys. So George, it's like I was always kind of even though I was very magical minded, I was also very practical. For example, years ago, you'd hear different people talking about connecting with their angels, and there'd be different authors or radio people and say, I'm getting a message from an angel. And I was like, what? Well, I guess angels are real, but really, come on. Angels are given messages, or ETs are given messages, and I was skeptical until it happened to me, until these beings started coming through, and the proof, I guess, is in the pudding, because when I relay the messages to people, it's always accurate.
Have you ever come across, Marla, any psychic vampires, people who just drain your energy?
I used to all the time. I was the kind of person, I was kind of codependent, and I would always befriend the people that had so many problems, or the underdogs, and they would be draining but I've noticed since I've been working on myself more, my frequency's higher, the most amazing people come into my life now, and I really don't have that now, but I used to a lot. And I was probably a psychic vampire too, and my younger days, I've had to do a lot of work on myself. I was probably draining some people.
Really? You feel like you did that?
Yeah. In my 20s and especially, I was an aspiring, I was doing acting and living in Hollywood, and I just was like out on my own and dating the wrong guys and doing everything. And I'm sure I was, I remember one gal who just said, it was nice knowing you, but, let's not be friends anymore. Yeah, totally. I mean, don't we all kind of look back like on those days in our 20s kind of, and some often cringe. I remember Oprah Winfrey saying something on her show once, I weep for the woman that I was when I was in my 20s.
Well, the old saying, woulda, coulda, shoulda, remember?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Do you continue to channel now, though, don't you?
Yeah, I do, and I'm working on getting better, working on my mediumship skills. I did a session with somebody yesterday, and she wanted to connect with her late husband who'd passed away 5 years ago. And I don't advertise that I'm a medium. It's not on my website. I don't say, do a session with me and I'll bring in your deceased loved ones. But somehow that's what she asked. And he did come through, and it came through great, the way he looked, his personality, things he said to her. So it's exciting. I mean, it's an expansion. It's always, getting better and growing. And it's like it's a lifelong adventure.
Now, when we take calls with you next hour, of course, they can ask you about the paranormal and the occult and magic. But if they want a specific reading, they are to give you just what, a question, and then you're going to pull a card or one of your tarot cards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What is the death card? If you ever pull that, what does that mean?
Yeah, the death card is, it can be really good because it can mean the death of a situation. Let's say you're
That's smart.
Something, maybe a job that, you're going to lose because you're going to get something better. It could be a death of a relationship, a death of some old patterns that you want to release. So it's rarely the death of the actual physical death of someone. It's the death of a situation.
But you will be very honest to people, though. I mean, if you see something that is not too bright or good, you'll tell them that, won't you?
Well, I mean, when I do readings, it's really to uplift people. So I wouldn't, I don't say anything like about sickness or divorce or death or anything like that. I'll maybe see a situation and say you might want to switch your energy or clean up some old patterns. A lot of women will call me about love, and they'll want to know if their ex is coming back or if they're going to find love or they're in an abusive situation. And so I can see that they've got to do a lot of self-love work. Maybe they've got some codependency issues, or they had a lot of times it stems from childhood, usually before the age of 10, where something happened. It could have been maybe their parents got divorced, their father left the picture, they had a difficult childhood, something happened. And then that sets up maybe alcoholic parents or something, and that'll set up their patterns in adulthood. And so really I will encourage them to, because I'm a coach too. I'm a boundaries coach. I'm a certified coach. So I do coaching, but I will encourage them to do work on themselves, because often they're thinking, well, if I just get this guy or this other person, it's going to make me happier. If they just come back, or if this situation, they're kind of looking for that external fix, where it's really an inside job.
Well, with Marla Martinson, the Magic Seeker, her website is her name, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Again, we'll take calls next hour, questions about the occult or about magic, or if you want a specific reading with a tarot, she'll talk to you for a minute or so about yourself as well. Let's talk a little bit about energy healing. What do you do in that arena?
Yeah, so now with, of course, COVID, I do distance healing, and that works just as well as in person. Before COVID, people would come to my home, and I have a studio where they'd come. I have a massage table, and they'd lay down, and I put crystals there and energy healing. So it's hands-on or hands-off healing, and it's just channeling that healing energy, balancing the chakras. But I love doing the distance as well. And I can even write the person's name or put their picture on my altar, put a few crystals around, and then I have my intention and send them energy. And I love getting the feedback, because some people will say, oh, I felt tingling, or I felt like a light touch on my shoulder, or I felt this or that. So it's a really beautiful thing to do.
Is your goal to increase their energy level, or what do you do if you come across somebody who is, got low energy, for he's being suppressed or she's being suppressed by some entity or something?
Yeah, well, I had a very interesting case. One day I got an email from a woman overseas, and she says, do you do... I think she said deliverance services, she says, I have this entity that's plaguing me at night and I can't get rid of it. And she says, it was my fault because I called it in, but now I can't get it to go away. And do you do anything like that? And I had not done anything like that before. So I said, listen, I says, I don't want you to pay me. I want to do this as an experiment, and I'm going to do the work tonight while you're asleep. And so I put this woman's name on the piece of paper, and I worked just about 20 minutes calling in the archangels and my guides and sending energy and clearing and telling that entity to go away. And then she did. I kept in touch with her, and she said it did. It did go away. It did not come back. And so that was very exciting. And the same thing happened with a neighbor in my mom's area. She had had for years an entity plaguing her, even knocking her out of, slapping her face, knocking her out of bed at night. She said it had plagued her all her life, and she didn't want me to do any energy work on her because she was afraid that the entities might come onto me. So I wasn't really worried about that, but okay, so I didn't do anything. But one day she was just exasperated, and she came over and says, "Can you please come over and help me? I can't even get any sleep at night." And so I cleared her house with sage and every corner and called in the archangels and the guides, and I saged her, and I told the entities not to bother her anymore. And she told me as well, she goes, "I slept great that night. They didn't come."
Marlon, what does sage do? I've heard from so many psychics and channelers and mediums, when they do that around the house, it seems to work. But why?
Yeah, it really, it's cleansing. Oh, and I love the smell of it. Somehow it just does. It'll cleanse. And it's also your intention. So you're saging the space. You're burning that sage, which is really, you know, beautiful, natural, from the natural world. And then it's your intention to clear. And it's just like we clean, you know, you'll sweep and you'll vacuum. So we want to sage the energy, because energy, the imprints of energy can be left. Let's say you had an argument with someone, or there was some, you know, other people lived there before you, or whatever. You like to clear your space sometimes. And then you open the windows and you let all the smoke out. But I clear my space quite often. And you don't have to just use sage. You can use a singing bowl. You can use bells. You can clap your hands. You can use a drum or your intention. There's a lot of different ways you can do it.
How often is dark energy in a house?
Well, I wouldn't say dark energy is even always in a house. It could be. And I feel like if there have been a lot of arguments or sadness, or maybe a lot of grief, or maybe you work from home and you had difficult clients or something, it kind of just has a lower, it's really more lower frequency, I would say, where you want to clear. Now, some houses may have some ghosts or entities, there's traffic. It's what you call traffic. So there are spirits that they wander the earth, and they're wandering in and out of people's houses. I mean, it looks like, if we just look at our space, it looks like it's an empty space, but it's not empty space. There's people, there's entities walking through and stuff, but they're just passing through.
Have you ever been at a point where you felt threatened or something could happen?
No, only when I have those sleep paralysis. It's so scary, and it feels like it's never going to end, you know, because you just can't control it. And I'm screaming in my head, you know, please. I'm always screaming, Archangel Michael, Jesus, come get this thing, you know, help me. And I just keep saying it in my head because I can't open my eyes or anything. And sometimes I'll be in bed and my husband's sleeping next to me, and I want to reach out to him or scream, and I can't. I'm just completely paralyzed. It's very bizarre.
And it is a really a horrible feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, because I know, like in my head, I'm like, okay, this is going to end, because it always does. But it just feels like it goes on so long.
You've talked a little bit about, in your book, The Magic Seeker, of astral travel. How often, how often are you doing that?
Yeah, I can't make it go, you know, when I want it to. It's very interesting, because I'll be laying in bed, and all of a sudden what happens, and maybe many of the listeners, you know, it's happened to as well. I'd love when they call in, I'd love to hear if it's happened to them, but it's almost like a car motor will start up, and it's this buzzing, and it's this vibration, very heavy vibration. And then I know that's when my spirit's going to lift out. My astral body's going to lift out, and it'll go up. And it just happens like spontaneously once in a while. And it happened when I was a kid, a few times.
Well, you know, you were right. You said we astral travel every night when we're sleeping, but not a lot of us remember being in that astral state. You just don't remember it.
And then, you know, sometimes, George, have you ever had it like all of a sudden you feel like you're in bed and you feel like you tripped or something?
Or you feel a jolt. You feel a jolt.
And sometimes I'll even feel like I tripped or fell, but I'm laying there. And that's the body. I think it's the astral body coming back in.
I think so, too. The jolting thing. It is. That's right.
Yeah.
I had one when I was 11. I haven't been able to duplicate it, Marla. I've had some of the greatest astral projectors on this program. And I've read books about it and everything. I can't duplicate what happened to me at 11 years old, where I remember being in my astral state. I'm sure I'm traveling all over the place at night, but I remember my dreams, but I don't remember waking up in my astral body other than that 11-year-old boy.
Right. And then do you have some dreams I'll have, well, not a dream, I'll absolutely know that I met someone on the astral plane, like I saw my dad, he came and sat at the edge of my bed, and it was just a isolated incident. It wasn't like this long dream, it was a specific isolated incident, and then I've never forgot it. It's just as fresh, it was a few years back, just as fresh as if it happened yesterday. And so that's on the, there'll be specific times where I never felt myself go out of the body, but I know I was out. And then there's been times when I would like take a nap and I would feel myself kind of just fall over off the side of the bed, like roll out. It's my astral body rolling out. So there's not always that vibration, but usually there's the vibration.
Can you travel outside of your body at will, or does it take a while?
No, I can't.
That
would be really cool. So it just happens once in a while, spontaneously, and I don't know why. And I always wonder, how come it's doing that now?
A lot depends on, you know, what you've eaten before you go to bed and all that. It's all kinds of possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be.
But, you know, you were saying like you astral and see people. I don't do that because I just don't remember the astral traveling. I dream vividly, but I don't remember the astral travel.
Yeah, maybe if you make a ask to before you go to sleep and say, I want a specific incident or something. Sometimes when we have that intention, it can happen. But there's been times I was flying up in the stars, and I flew over these buildings that looked like I was in Greece or something. It was all like these white buildings and water, and I felt like I was up there. It was really incredible.
The Magic Seeker, where do you get the book?
On Amazon or at my website, marlamartinson.com.
All right, which we've got linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in a moment and take questions for Marla, talk to her about magic, astral travel, channeling. Or if you want a tarot card reading, you'll need to ask her a specific question, and she'll pull the card, and we'll see what happens.